Are we ready, Stacey?
Well, I can have them work with me.
Okay. All right. Today is June 10th, 2014. It is 3:04 p.m. And we are meeting in the boardroom of the district office today. It's a regular and a work session. I'm grateful that everyone's here. We have board members, Ann Geary, Connie Morgan, James Blair, Krista Cooley. Lynn Hobbs is expected sometime today. And then we have our Superintendent Marshall Garrett, as well as our Board Secretary Stacey Hunter, and Zane Wilson-Hume, our Business Administrator. And we also have Lisa Hopkins, our, what'd you say, our heir apparent, board member.
Board member elect.
Board member elect. So she's here to talk about the budget with us. So I thought that would be a good thing for her to listen to. And then if we have any members of the press, we welcome them and public if they come in. So we're going to start our board meeting with our consent calendar, which is to take action on the extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel.
Are you running or are you?
I'm running.
Lisa will be
thinking.
Because Jim is not running.
He's pretty early.
Thank you for the compliment.
But I'm handsomer
than her.
Yeah,
that's true.
All right, action on consent calendar, which is extra pay for extra services for licensed personnel.
I would move to adopt the consent calendar.
A second.
Okay, I have a motion made by Ann and a seconded by Connie. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion passes. Now we're going to go on to our work session, which is the review of the FY15 budget. That will be Superintendent Marshall Garrett, as well as our Business Administrator, Zane Wilson.
Zane's going to take the bulk of this. He's been working, bifurcated, is that the word? Because he's doing the same thing down there. He's having to take care of two budgets at the same time. And Jeff is doing the same thing down at his today. That's why he was not able to be here, but he will be here next Monday. We've got some dialogue that we want to go over with you in terms of the general overall direction of where the budget is, but we'll be approved by you next week. We want to spend some time specifically on we really want to spend some time with you on the tax rates, because there's some multiple different options as we're going into process. We know because of the voted levy that will impact this next year, but we also need to know and have a discussion on when we do issuances of bond. And so he's got some different dialogue to share with you on that information, so that as we come to next week, we have a few days here to try to work with you on any additional information you will need before the vote next week. So with that.
Sorry, Zane, before you start, I have to leave 4:20, so if we are still meeting after 4:20, then James is going to finish up.
Stacy needs to leave before 10, and I'm
going
to
walk out.
Make it quick.
Okay, so. All of you at some point have seen this, but I don't know if you've seen it for the current year.
I don't think we have seen it.
You saw it for the current year, but that was before we made the determination for salaries. So there is a little bit.
Do we have a determination for salaries? Is my question.
Ratification will finish at midnight on Thursday. I'll know Friday whether or not it will be on Monday's agenda. What we're doing is putting it on there with a determination. If something goes south, that we will then be able to do.
Okay. But this is as though those negotiations went through, because that was what IBB came up with, correct? All right, good. That's what I needed to know.
And the focus of our discussion today, frankly, is going to be minimum school program, bonded indebtedness schedules, tax rates, and we'll talk a little bit about the respective RDAs and how that plays into some things. But asked to talk to the city about. So, for the benefit of Lisa, I want to take a second and go through this.
Okay.
Okay. So, the minimum school program is the state guaranteed amount of money that we get from the state. And everything is based on the value of the weighted pupil unit, and that's what the WPU is. So what I've done with this sheet, you see in the green, that's where we think we're going to land as of the end of the fiscal year that we're in, which ends on June 30th. And then the yellow is based on our best guess at this point in time for what we're going to get next year. You hear people use the word above the line, below the line. You can see the red line. So what they're talking about is anything above the line are those programs above that line. Anything below the line are those programs below that line. What's unique about the programs above the line is they're all WPU-driven formulas based on enrollment and student participation in those programs. So, a kindergarten student generates 0.55 WPUs if they're enrolled 180 days. A student grades K through 12 generates one WPU if they're enrolled 180 days in the school year. So, it's membership driven, not attendance driven. And we have everyone on our roll. If they happen to not show up for 10 days, then they get dropped from our membership. So if you add up all the comings and goings of membership throughout the year and divide that by 180, then that's what our average daily membership is. And our funding is based on prior year average daily membership plus a growth factor if on October 1 the enrollment happens to be higher than the prior year average state of membership. If on October 1 that enrollment number is less than what the prior year average state of membership was, you get funded at the average state of membership amount. So it's kind of a lower there, so you don't take such a bath in the case of the drop of enrollment from one year to the next. So you have what you call regular basic school program, and for us that's the grades K through 12 money, which is the biggest chunk. Professional staff, that's a formula driven by the education and the years of experience of our teaching staff and licensed staff. So it includes principals, superintendents, and all the teachers. Anyone that has a teacher's license generates professional staff cost formula money. Foreign language, they pull the foreign exchange students out for whatever reason. But we have a few of those kids and we generate some money for that. The restricted basic school programs, those are programs that we generate money based on participation, but it can only be used in those programs. So the top section, 1 through 6, that's all special ed programs, and they're funded on the prior year's, it's actually a year lag in that program,
okay,
based on December 1 counts. We have a pretty healthy special ed participation. Our applied technology programs for kids that are participating in things like home ec and business classes, CTE programs. We have kids going to the VATC that generate money here, but those are add-on WPUs that are generated for participation in those programs, and we get some money for class size reduction. You can see it goes up a little bit every year depending on what they do with the WPU value, but it's not an added chunk on top of the old chunk. It's just we don't get $1.2 million last year and then another $1.2 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
We get $1.2 million plus another $19,000, which doesn't cover the pay raise for the ones you have hired in the first place. But anyway, so years ago we hired some new people, and this money's going to help pay for those folks and their replacements. So it doesn't cover the cost of what we had when we first got it. Those are the above the line items, and you can see it comes to about $10.2 million. Then you have below the line items, and this flexible WPU distribution was an outgrowth of what used to be money for Social Security and retirement in 2009. That amount was, what was it, Marshall, about almost $4 million. And this is where we kind of really took the hit over the last 5 years. In order to keep the money above the line, they took from below the line, and that flexible WPU distribution is less than 10% of what it was.
Because we have to pay Social Security and retirement on everyone.
Yeah.
But then the legislature can say, but we kept the WPU the same. And yet it kills us.
Yeah. So when we have our meeting next week, I'll give you a look at this that gives you like the last 6 years, and you can see how that's all changed. We get money for our pupil transportation. The state formula is based on miles and minutes of students transported. Of course, for us, every penny we get plus, we turn to cash school district for the money there for us.
Does any of that funding for public transportation come from capacity?
No.
On buses? So we could run a bus that's like empty and we still get the same amount of money?
You only generate money in the formula if you have a minimum of 10 kids on a bus route. So, but the,
as long as you have 10 kids, then it's possibly the same amount of money.
You have to have at least 10 kids or the route doesn't fund at all. Exception to that are special education routes for handicapped kids.
Okay.
But
if you have if you have those 10 kids don't ever show up, as long as they're assigned to ride that bus, you still get the same amount of money.
Well, they need to show up when you do your counts, which they do those. In September, we have to have
their lives have to physically.
You have to have those counts. You have to do an average for.
Not it's not F 10 eligible. It's 10 writers.
Right. Oh, okay. Because I know in our area, not a lot of people write it just because it comes so early.
Yeah. It's based on ridership.
Oh, okay.
Enhancement for accelerated students, we get a little money there that helps. So that goes to gifted and talented programs, advanced placement programs. It's not very much. Enhancement for at-risk students, we have a pretty at-risk population of kids. And so this money has actually grown for us. If we've had one thing that has grown a little bit in the last few years, it's that. That chunk of change. You see, was it Marshall? Well, last year, 2 years ago, it was like 391, but I mean, it went way up and then it's kind of come down again, but it's back up to 406. Youth in custody program, kids that are in detention, we operate that program. That's generated based on the kids in the program. Adult education, we get a little bit of money of that. Concurrent enrollment, we get a little bit of money. Those are the classes where the kids get like college credit.
Yeah.
We're taking up. It's not really the money maker that you might think. I mean, we're paying for the teacher, we're paying for the books.
Yeah.
And if you look at the cost of the program, we subsidize it a lot.
And we write a check for 40% of that out to the university.
Yeah.
And we do it all.
School land trust money, you're probably familiar with that. That's money that goes directly to the schools, mm-hmm. through the community councils. They control that. I'm thinking we may get a little more than that this year, but I'm not sure where we landed yet.
Yeah, those are October.
State reading achievement. So we have a. This is for our K-3 reading programs, mainly used grades K-3. There's a state match required, so state's bringing in about $200,000, and then the board is assessing a property tax to match the other $200,000. So we're holding that program about $420,000. Early interventions used to be extended day kindergarten, I guess. What are we using that for? We're still doing extended day.
Extended day, but not necessarily all day, right?
Depends on the program. Some kids, it's all day, so.
We get a little bit of school nurse money. That pays about 25% of our salary and benefits. We get some money from the state for our dual immersion program. That's what the 42 is. I'm guessing we'll get that again this year. You don't heard otherwise anymore.
Was it actually the first year we had that line item?
Yes. We've had the critical languages program. We were teaching a Chinese class over at Logan High at one time. It was kicking in about $6,000 or something at one time. They don't do that anymore, do they? It's not one of the classes. The educator salary adjustment, 2007 and 2008, the legislature said, we want to give teachers a raise, and we don't want anyone else to get into it. So they gave us $2,500 per teacher and principal. It wasn't to go to any district administrators or any classified employees. And so to assure that that's how that happened, they created this new line item below the line, and they gave us $2,500 a head. And then the next year, they didn't want the principals to get any, but they wanted the teacher to get some, so they kicked in another $1,700. So there's $4,200 that goes to teachers, and it's part of our salary schedule, included in the salary schedule. Which, if teachers don't perform up to expectations, they're not supposed to get that $4,200. The library books, electronic resources is it's a pain in the butt, frankly, from my end of things. We have to report every book that we buy and every piece of electronic.
You can't say we have 1,700 books.
Yeah.
50 books. We have to literally list all 50 titles.
Yeah.
It's just not worth the bellyache, but it's very sexy from a legislative standpoint, yeah. And they like that. So that's there. We used to get $250,000 a year for U-Star.
We won't know on that until next week.
So maybe.
Yeah.
For next
U-Star,
year.
The new grants are to be awarded by the
We didn't get any last year. We had money left over from prior years that we spent this last year. I'm not sure where we're landing at this point. The charter school local replacement is an add-on. So for kids that attend charter schools, we get deducted from our minimum school program. It used to be a below-the-line thing, but now they actually take that away from our grades K-12 money. At the end, they'll do an adjustment. And it's been about $225,000. Class supplies, that's another one. Things like library books and electronic resources. Depending on the years of experience the teacher has and the grade they teach, there's a formula that guarantees we write them a check basically to help them pay for out-of-pocket expenses for classroom supplies and things like that. Once we've met the minimum, if there's anything left, then we divide that amongst the rest of the teachers. We get about $150 a year, I think, for that. But that's another one of those nuisance programs. We actually have to go through the calculation, who's teaching what grade, how long have they taught, how much do they have coming, and see what's left, and write everybody a check. They're supposed to keep their receipts and turn those in to the schools at the end of the year. Beverly Taylor Swartzen Elementary Arts Martial Arts, I really don't know what we're
that will actually at. Be increased. We are now in four schools.
What are they doing with that?
They've also changed the rules. We'll have one teacher at a third of the time. This last year was one person covering two schools, now it's going to be one covering three. We have one that's at Adams, Ellis, and Bridger. And then we'll have a person who will do part-time at Wilson and part-time at Brook.
Does it teach an art class?
Their art, it's visual arts at the first two schools. It's performing arts, specifically dance, at Hillcrest and Wilson.
Okay.
Wilson had, they were given a 0.5, and Hillcrest was given a 0.33, but the money together does not cover the cost of a 0.03 because of health insurance. So we're probably going to be at a 0.67. A third of a teacher, there'll be a 0.67 teacher, and they'll be at two places.
But we don't have to be at Fairview Taylor
Shop.
Well,
would it? We're just not apply.
Stay away from computer adaptive testing. We got some money last year to help buy equipment for testing, and I understand we're not going to get that this year, so that estimate will be zero for the current year.
They didn't put it in the new year. When the money for computers got wiped out from the speaker's plan, she wiped it out for everything. And there was no money.
So
there was a little bit of victimness.
And did it with higher ed for
computers? Yeah, it went to higher ed.
So the board, and we'll talk about property tax rates in a minute, but we have a voted local levy. It's a separate property tax levy. And a local board leeway levy, and that's a separate levy, and they generate $1.7 million and $806,000 respectively. And because of our relative tax value per student as compared to other districts in the state kicks in a guarantee amount. And so that's the $149,063. So it's less than last year. And I think, Marshall, we may not get the 224 for this year. We got notified that they changed that. I haven't changed it on this. But anyway, you can see it looks like we're going to have more money than we had last year, thankfully. And the things in the left right-hand column that I have highlighted in yellow are those things that we call general program, and some we talk about. What do we have available for teacher raises and things like that? Those are the numbers that we kind of look to see if we can afford to do anything. So, any questions on the state program? So now let's talk. We're going to pass it out.
Did you say why there's no money in capital outlay? Because we don't get any money from capital outlay foundation.
I asked you my
question when I said that last week.
Yeah.
Okay, so this colorful sheet is it has listed all the current outstanding debt of Florida school district has a general obligation bond of debt that people have voted for. So you can see that assuming we didn't issue any new debt, we would have it all paid off by the end of the fiscal 19 year. The current fiscal year, which for us is the fiscal 15, you can see in green what our debt service responsibility is that year. So everything above the red line, that was what we refunded a year ago, or what's it been now? Yeah, June 2013. So although there are numbers there, we don't count them in what we have to pay. That was replaced by the bottom section that says June 18th, $6.35 million refunding bonds. So we have This coming year, we'll pay $1,770,000 in principal and $254,300 in interest. The next sheet that I gave you, we have what's called municipal building authority bonds, lease revenue bonds. When the district did the renovation of Woodruff Elementary, we were able to borrow some money, lease revenue bonds. When we do lease revenue bonds, the Board of Education actually becomes a different entity altogether. They become what's known as the Municipal Building Authority of the Logan City School District Board of Trustees. And technically, what happens is the Municipal Building Authority owns the building, and the district is leasing from the Municipal Building Authority, but we still have to pay the debt. And so just a way of getting around the voter thing. So the board borrowed $6.9 million to do that. We refinanced that last year and dropped the rate from 4.29% down to 2.59%. So we're saving a lot of interest. This year, our payment will be $671,000. So we are paying $250,000 extra principal every year. We have that option as part of the thing. The board is budgeted to do that every year. And that's accelerated the payoff a lot. We'll have this paid off. The last payment will be in the fiscal 20 year, so about 6 years. We could actually pay it off earlier if you wanted to. We owe, after the end of this year, $2.6 million on this.
We can pay it early, Brad. We can pay it early.
I think you can.
Yeah.
I think there was a certain length of it that we had to have, so I think you maybe want to be on that.
You know, I don't, it just depends on the cash flow and maybe want to look at that. But it's nice to see the end of it.
Yeah.
So now we want to talk tax rates.
This is one of the reasons we're holding on at Hillcrest.
Yeah, I have been out and had this discussion, so I'm glad
we're talking. This is option one of five. You have five options in front of you. There are five doors.
So if you look right, in the middle, it says option one.
That number's on. Well, one.
Let me pass out the other four options while we're at it. So just put them in order, if you would.
I actually got you on some of these discussions. So
this is option two. And we'll talk about these in order. So. Option three.
He was going to go 16, but I said, you didn't really have to hold that.
Say, actually, you could go
this one. It's combinatorics on it.
lots of ways to look at it.
These are the top five.
I've got it.
You got four?
There's five.
Yeah. Should have five of these.
Okay. Did you say you were going to have 16?
Just joking.
Really, if you have five times four times three times three times one, what do they call that? There's a technical name.
It's a legitimate cutting gesture.
So anyway, I'm sorry. So the top section is what our tax rate breakdown was.
Connie, we need to wait on this. He will be around. We kind of need to hear.
What could be more important than this, Connie?
Her iPad.
Like thinking, Dave or migraine? Would you?
I'm with you to get all.
Did you see how fast we moved?
So, top section are the tax rates that we had in place this year. You can see the proposed tax rate valuation last year. This comes from the Utah State Tax Commission. $1,763,000,000 and change. You can see what it was the prior year. Last year we had an increase of about $7 million. On the left are the funds into which the money goes. You can see what the budget types are, what the statutory limits are for each of those levies. And the certified tax rate is the tax rate which, all things being equal, generates the same amount of money as you had the prior year.
And so, do we have that for sure?
Huh?
We don't really have that, do we?
That's what the...
I know for certified tax rate.
Okay, wonderful.
Well, with the exception of the state basic rate.
Okay. I was amazed that we really
state,
had it.
But I've got the certified valuation numbers and stuff, so. But that's what certified rate is. So all things being equal, you generate the same revenue this year as you did last. If the tax valuation goes up, to get the same revenue, the rate drops. And on the flip, if the tax value drops, the certified rate goes up so that you keep the revenue the same. So that the state comes up with what they call the certified tax rate. The certified tax rate with bonds is whatever you have to levy to get the revenue to pay the debt. So you can see in the top there what the actual certified rate was last year, what the rate the prior year was that we actually had in place. You can see our proposed rate. We went with the certified rate in total, and we actually flipped it so we picked up a little more in the voted local levy, a little less in capital. You can do that. And so that's what our tax rate was last year. So option one for this current year, the board, as you know, the board was successful with the passage of their voted local levy increase and the bond election last year. So we've got decide, okay, what are we going to do? What changed is what our authorized voted local levy amount was, and then what, depending on the timing of when we issued debt. So under option one, we're proposing to increase the voted local levy sufficient to bring in the anticipated $1.3 million that we talked about all along. We said, you know, and based on what our value was and what the rate was we were going to assess, we figured we'd bring in an extra $1.3 million. If we increase that levy enough to do that, and under this option, we're going to hold off on issuing any debt until next spring. Okay?
For so you don't have to pay for it until the next year.
That way we don't
have to. Wait until spring. We can go through the process. But we're getting the money in March or April, but we would not have to pay a June payment. We would wait until the next year. Fiscal year 16 would be our first payment back.
And then the other piece of this option is that we keep the capital levy and the board local levy at the certified tax rate. Okay? So we're not going to increase it by that. So the only increase in revenue under option one is to bring in the $1.3 million for the voted local levy, which we pretty much have committed with regards to negotiations and hiring and peace personnel for this next year.
And this is the your company.
Okay. So if we do that, what is the effect of the taxpayer? In the comparison under the right-hand projected tax change from the prior year, is exactly that. So if your home has a market value of $130,000, it's taxed at 55% of value, and the taxes this past year would have been $580,000. Under this proposal, that would go up to $599, and the increase would be $19. Okay? it's higher than the certified tax rate by $49.
And why is that?
Because you'll notice, and I appreciate you bringing that up, the proposed tax rate valuation this year is $1.9 billion. It went up $150 million. This is the highest tax valuation that we've had since 2010.
When we all had a drop in our
I was pleasantly surprised by this.
Well, and that is whether, and we may see even more than that when we get whether they reevaluated, right? Our own personal taxes.
Well, supposedly they're supposed to do that every year. But this is what it is for this year. So that's a good thing. So what that means is the certified rate drops a lot because the value went up. And so that makes the amount above the certified rate a lot more. And when you when you have your truth in taxation hearing, they're actually going to base it on the amount above the certified tax rate. They don't care what they actually paid last year. They're going to compare it with the certified tax rate. The other caveat that I will say is the basic school levy that you see is 1477. That hasn't been set yet by the Tax Commission. I'm hoping it will be set by the 20th of June. When we have our hearing next week, we won't know what that is, I don't suppose, yet. So what we'll do is set the proposed rate at whatever we decide today, plus whatever happens with the state rate.
If we were to do this one, would we need a prudent taxation hearing?
I believe so.
Because it goes up, I know for me it would be $6.50.
Because we are issuing the $1.3 million, that's the reason why it is higher. So we still, even though we have voter approval, we still have to go to the two.
Okay.
All right.
This amount on the bottom indicates the bond and the levy.
This is just to this option.
This option.
Okay,
this option.
Yes, but this option right here includes the increase for the payment of the
voted local levy.
Just the levy, because the
option.
Bond is delayed.
Just this option.
Okay.
Okay.
It keeps the rates at
the same.
So let's look at option two.
It's lowering. It's lowering our rate to the certified rate.
Okay.
So the only impact that is giving us $1.3 million.
And in the past, if we did that, we didn't have to have a truth in taxation, but because of the other, we have to. Okay.
I just don't know whether that's
In the past, we could do this when we were okay, but I do remember the year, Lynn, when we did the voted. It was a leeway then to put Bridger into, to remember we had to have the truth in taxation hearing on it, even though the voters had approved it 7 years before, and they were all the shocked, and we said, but 7 years ago you approved it. My guess is that's what this is.
At this point in the game, I'm saying, because we're exceeding the certified rate, even though the voters approved it, we're going to have to go for truth in taxation.
And that's what we had to do that year.
Yeah, because they've already approved it, but it's whenever you start funding it.
Yeah.
When the
so that makes sense to me, because I can compare it with past.
The option two talks the same. Under option two, we've increased the voted local levy sufficient to bring in the 1.3, and we're issuing $30 million of new debt in 2014, so this fall. And if we do that, I've been told by our financial advisor, our debt service on that will be about $1,760,000 approximately. So if we issue that debt this fall, then we need to budget to collect the revenue to make that bond payment next spring. Keeping the capital levy and the ward local levy at the certified tax rate, then we're going to increase the GEO bond payment levy from 1055 1975 in order to generate the $1,760,000, and when you combine that with the voted local levy, that's an extra $3 million, and you can see what the change in the certified tax rate and what the change in what the actual taxes were that were paid from the prior year. based on that. A little bigger field.
And that's issuing how much, did you say, 30?
That's issuing all 30 million.
Yeah.
That was if you issued all 30 million this fall.
Yeah. This is if you're homeless, that 130,000, that's what you tax.
That's what I'm saying, but if you should all of it.
Overall is 35.
You're just only going to push it off
every year. We pay part of that out of ongoing.
Okay, well, I know that's what we said. It was 35 million for our high school. That's why I was just concerned we didn't have enough. We only issued everything.
It's such a
I thought the plan was issue 30 now, 25 later.
But we've been saying 35 million for the high school. So
right.
That's why I just needed to double check on those numbers.
Okay. Right. So we're talking about option 3.
And you can decide how you want to do that one at a time. So option 3 is a little different. Okay. Option 3, we're going to generate the local levy sufficient to bring in the 1.3 and issue 30 million of new debt this fall and keep the capital outlay levy and the board local levy at the same rate as they were last year. Okay, which
so not dropping them.
Don't
back.
Drop them, but keep the rate up. If you keep the rate the same as it was last year, it's going to generate an extra $450,000 into the M&O budget, which would be comforting. But anyway, that scenario does that. I mean, we've been operating on a shoestring in that budget for a long time. It'd be nice to have some cushion. But that's what this scenario does. Again, we've kept the voted levy increase to the 1.3. The fourth scenario is the most costly option, but we're increasing the voted levy to the authorized max of 1,600. We're issuing the 30 million in new debt this fall and keeping those capital and board local levies the same as they were last year. And you can see what difference that makes. Okay? My preference is option 5.
I think we should just get rid of option 3. Oh, my gosh, there's a difference in the check there.
Okay. So, under option 5, we're increasing the voted local levy sufficient to bring in the anticipated 1.3. We're going to hold on doing the bond issue until next spring. And we'll talk a little bit about that because I know you have some questions and I'll give you my rationale for that recommendation. And we're going to keep the bond, the capital outlay levy and the board local levy the same as they were last year. Since you've got to go through truth and taxation anyway. So here, a couple of points. The voted local levy, I'm not in favor of maximizing that to the authorized limit for a couple of reasons. One, we need the 1.3 to do what we promised. And let's say that you've maxed out the voted local levy at 16 and something happens and your tax value drops. Well, you're limited to that 1,600 levy no matter what happens. So if your tax value drops, you're just going to lose money. So you have no cushion with regard to the voted levy. By just levying what you need to get to 1.3, that leaves you...
This one is not correct.
No, because you've got 15, 13.
Oh, I
got
it.
You've got to change that.
Yeah. All right, let me pick that for the next meeting. Sorry. So,
what you're saying is, so
we're going to keep it at 15.
You mean 13? Oh.
Yeah.
I was looking at the debt. The revenue.
100150 will get, if you take it and cross out the $1.5 million and put in $1,322,437.
I need to go update that.
So what you do on this one is change, if you go to the middle green one, that green one that says 12.2, that should say 0.001500.
Instead of 1600?
Yeah. Correct. And then go all the way to the box of the pink at the end.
Let me go
down. No, it's okay. We're okay.
All right. And this one here is going to be, this one is
1,322,437.
The last three digits. And this one will go
322,437.
You can buy Mark, may I pass it to
the police? It's the same as number one.
Right.
We'll finish up the discussion.
For purposes of the discussion, we're going to keep the voted local levy at 15. So if we have a drop in valuation, you've got some flexibility to increase the rate without going above your ceiling. And let's say the valuation doesn't drop, you've got some flexibility to do something another year if you want to. But I would suggest you keep that cushion there.
Okay, so that gives you the total increase of $1,768,353.
Well, that changed the projected tax change.
Yes, it will go down.
Down like $38 or something.
Down to $38?
I'm just saying it'll go down some, maybe $5.
I'll update this for you, but I can do it in about 5 minutes.
What five does, but you need to hear the reason on holding off on the bond issuance. The worry that we had was with all everything that we're doing, are we going to wipe out our capital budgets? That was the question I asked him. That was my biggest worry, is that we've got lots of things going and we're actually with the funding, which is not a bad thing, funding out of existing funding, paying for the demolition of the building, paying for the football field, paying for the rec center, paying for the dugouts, paying for this over here, which we already saved for. You start looking at all of those, and we're going, I didn't know if we're going to have to do bake sales or something like that by the time on Main Street. So, therefore, he has an answer to that.
And let me give you my rationale for keeping the capital levy and the board levy the same as the prior year. A, it brings in more money at minimal cost to the taxpayers, really. It's the same raise it was last year, so assuming the value of the home didn't change.
Which we kept down on purpose because of the election, right?
Yes.
But it's going to go up from 19 to, so we'll go, but then we'll have a, they'll have another impact next year when we issue the bond.
We'll talk about that in a sec. But so here's what happened. I told you with the voted local levy, if the value drops, you can't go above the 16 no matter what. But the nice thing, if you will, about the board local levy and the capital local levy, you know, the statutory limit is 25 and we're really close to that. If we have a drop in value that kicks that certified rate above 25, we get to levy whatever that happens to be. You can bust through the ceiling of the 25 with these levies, where you can't with the voted authorized levies. So, and the fact that it's going to bring another $450,000 into the budget. So, that's my logic for that. So, as far as holding off on the bond, if you look at this, this was the estimated spend of the bond money on the high school renovation. So, they estimate between now and the end of the year, we'll spend $400,000 on high school.
Oh, that makes me feel a little bit better.
That's including the football field?
No, this has nothing to do with the football field.
This is just
field.
Logan High.
I'm just talking about the Logan High renovation
building,
right now.
Building.
Yeah. And so, And then the next year, beginning in February, between February and July of the next year, they figure we'll spend $15 million in that phase one. All right? And then if you flip the page, you can see the phase two expense, they're projected to be $16 million, and that would be beginning about June of 2016 and be completed towards the end of November of 2017. So we have about $3.5 million in our capital outlay budget right now. And with the proposed tax rate for next year, you can see that we will generate another $4 million. Okay? And even if you didn't go with my suggestion, it's still going to bring in about $3.5 million. So the football field's going to cost you about $800,000. The bleachers in the gym are going to cost you about $300,000. This project out here, it'll be really nice. It's going to cost $200,000.
We're going to have our...
Could have been done 3 years ago.
We're
a couple of $100,000. I guess my point is, I don't think you're going to spend the money we have. And with the new money we have coming in, I think we can get us through easy to next spring before you need cash to start paying on the high school construction. So that's my reasons for deferring it. So we don't have to levy this $1.7 million, and we would just be sitting on it for 3 years.
And we can't do the arbitrary. They won't. Things are different with that, right?
There's just no money to be earned by doing
it. Right. When we used to earn interest on it.
Maybe you'd earn 4 or 5%.
Yeah, you'd earn a couple of million on it, but now you don't.
So my recommendation is, and you guys can decide, but hold off. Don't do it this year. Do it next spring, and then I would do it in two issues. I would do $15 million issue this coming spring for phase one, and then I would wait a year and do the other 16 and layer that in so it's not such a hit. And the other thing is, I was telling Marshall, we have a capital rate that's pretty high, and you could actually, if you wanted to, depending on things, you could decrease your capital outlay rate as you increase your debt service levy to pay for the extra bond issue, at least on one of them $15 million things, and eliminate the tax increase to the public.
You really can't do that if you have one issuance. You have a better chance of doing it than you have two.
I mean, I don't think you have $1.7 million to give in your capital outlay levy. That's the bottom line. But by next year, you might have $500,000 to give or $800,000 to give. And
so is option number five, it's a win-win for the taxpayer and for the school district?
I think it is.
Or is it that people will say, oh, here we go again?
Less than what we had said the worst case scenario would be for us the first year, because we're holding on.
But I mean, it's that we all know that too.
Well, that's how we sold it when we went out to sell it. Was this, you know, the amounts that we're having, these are less than
what the projection was.
So, number one, option number one has the least impact to the taxpayer because we keep the rate the same and we hold off doing the...
Keep the rate at
the certified rate, so it's lower than what we did last year. And then, so the only impact to the taxpayer basically is the voted levy that would be on there. Why would that not be a wise thing to do?
Because we need more money.
Well, that's what I thought, but I just need to ask that question.
Depending on your position, it may be the wise thing to do. Right? From a fiscal standpoint, more is always better. If you're But you should have a plan. But the fact is, and you guys know, I mean,
it's about 600,000 more, right?
We had a fund balance 4 years ago of about $27,000 on big budget. And so we're slowly increasing that. I'm hoping we end up in a better place this year. I haven't got that all figured out yet. But that extra $400,000 will give you some flexibility.
By keeping it the same, and again, anyone who's assessed valuation does not go up, that means that would be, that part would be a wash. So all they would be seeing would be the additional amount for the voter levy. The reality is in the past, in the 8 years we've been here, with the exception of last year, we have always stayed with the same rate.
And my guess is
gone through truth of taxation, taken that whatever hit that we had, and we've really not had, at least in the last 8 years, we have had three people show up for it.
I've found the citizens are all going to be very supportive.
Yes.
The board stuff.
And it would allow us to have a cushion on some of the areas that we've had some concerns on and have savings.
You might want to explain what the $400,000, what can be spent on.
What can we spend the additional revenue?
Whatever you want. Actually, the amount that's generated in capital is for capital.
Okay. So you have $200,000
in capital.
But the extra $240,000 that we're going to the board local levy is discretionary.
And basically, it recommends it's money in the savings account.
Yeah.
What about the cost of waiting to issue the bond? Because the bond rates are so low now, what will be the impact of waiting on that until next year?
You take a chance.
The
rate could go up a little bit. Normally, you try to go up a whole bunch to justify that $1.7 million that you're just going to be sitting on. You won't start spending that until June, probably.
I was just in refinancing some stuff I had. The bank told me you're not going to see very, very slightly for the next 2 years. That's what they said. Of course, they said we never know, but their projection is very, very slight.
Everything I've heard the Fed do, and I just don't see it happening. I mean, the rates have fluctuated 2% in 10 years.
Because you hate to wait on it and then have the rates jump up. And you'll be going, dang, we should have done that.
And Alex is here, he's going to tell you about that.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, those of us who lived through when we thought 16% was it dropped to 16%. So Dave and I got in our first home because that was so much lower than it had been.
Yeah.
And we never thought it would ever get down to 6% like my parents had, and look where we are right now, which truly makes it so it's not worth to have interest-bearing accounts because they don't make anything. So that's
my story. I had a couple other things I wanted to talk to you about because they're relevant to a discussion I'm going to have with the city in a couple of weeks.
We used to have Fred was part of that committee. Do we have another person to be on that?
I don't think it's not the voting committee.
Okay, it's not the one where you vote, it's not.
They're just trying to get us a label and get us to buy this one. So, this is hot off the press from the Utah State Tax Commission. So when I want to look and see what our tax rate is, what our certified rate, what our tax value is, it's coming off of this information off the State Tax Commission website. What I have highlighted here is the amount of money that's part of our overall tax value that's wrapped up in redevelopment projects. So how this works is if you look at the total value in the left-hand column, you see the $2,260,000,000 number. If you add it up at this point in time, the total taxable value of all of the property within Logan City School District, that's what it comes to. As they're coming up with rates for taxation purposes, you know, it boils down to, if you go across, you can see about right straight across from there, it says proposed tax rate value. That's the rate on which our taxes are set. Okay, so that's the magical number, and that's the number that I put on this other sheet. But there's a lot more to it. So you have your total value, and it's adjusted down by RDA value. Okay, so that's tax value that's generating dollars that the district doesn't get. And so we've been asked to go to a meeting with the city in a couple of weeks where they're going to talk to us about expanding one of the RDA projects and trying to get our support to do that. Okay? And so this other sheet that I gave you, I've shared with Rich, Kirk Jensen before when we've had discussions. I've sat on the city's Economic Development Committee meeting, and people come in and they bring proposals, and every once in a while they bring up the art. I mean, basically the money the Economic Development Committee has to play with is RDA money. So that $200-something million is generating money that's going into a pot that the city is able to use to give incentives to businesses to do this or that.
And it comes out of, it's money that we potentially could have.
It's money that we, yeah. And the argument is, well, okay, let's say they, when they come in, let's say the RDA is worth $100,000, and by allowing the redevelopment agency to come in, it's going to go up to $200,000. Well, the district continues to collect on the $100,000, and basically the RDA gets the difference of the other $100,000 for as long as the RDA is in place. And they go from like 10 years to 15 years or 20 years, and they take that money and they give incentives to businesses to make some improvements. A lot of the stuff you see going on downtown is done with RDA.
There are, what, 8 RDAs?
You know, the Marriott Center, the Riverwoods, that's a classic example of an RDA. We've got a bunch of them in Logan City, but they're wanting to improve them. So
does that mean eventually when those RDAs expire that we would get more tax dollars from those businesses?
That's the theory. And they say your incentive is as well. When the RDA is done, now you have a property worth $250,000 and you get all that tax base.
You remember there was a mall down in Ogden, the mall down on 23rd Street.
It no longer exists.
On year 19, they were closed. So in year 20, when the RDA was supposed to be finished, it was now, they actually were worth less than they were under the RDA. And then they went into a new RDA to do the Larry H. Miller stuff. So that area is still not generating. I don't think it's generating any money.
Not for.
Well, don't they set it out for so many years too?
The early 23
new,
yeah,
extended and stuff like that.
But what a lot of times they'll do is they'll get close to that and then either extend it or the businesses will actually close. That's what happened in London.
And Icon was, when it was created, it didn't have a deadline. It was back when you didn't ever have to have a deadline on it. And that one, I think they've negotiated a little bit with, but there were some of those original ones when Lynn and I got on the board 18 years ago.
Yeah.
They had no end.
No.
So the next sheet I gave you, this is a sheet that I've given to the community development director.
What was the comment that Michelle was up the most about? Well, you say that, you know.
This happened in 2011.
It's Rod Smith.
Okay. So what I passed out here, Rod Smith is a VA at the Alpine School District, and he did a presentation of the Utah Taxpayers Association.
Lois is the president of the Taxpayers Association.
And I asked Rob to give me a copy of it because he went through the issues that he said need to be taken into consideration as we evaluate whether or not we participate in RDAs. And I've shared this with Kirk Jensen, the city economic development director, and told him, if you talk to us about RDAs, we're going to be talking about this kind of stuff and how that affects us. But I plan, when I visit with the city on the 25th, I don't know what they're going to ask, but I expect they're going to elicit our support in this RDA, and I'm just going to bring up the fact that I'm not feeling the love and the partnership. What do we have to gain by this? Because all I have is a half a dozen examples of how they've basically taken advantage of the school district, ignored our requests, and yet they're wanting us to be a partner with them. I mean, I can think of most recently, you know, we had the demolition of this place. They weren't going to give us a demolition permit after they told us 3 years ago we didn't need to go through the hoops anyway.
And we had to produce.
And I had to go back and produce the minutes of the meeting we had
with them.
With them.
To allow us to have it.
To show that, yeah, we did this. They're charging us horrendous costs for dump fees for the demolition of the school. They charge us $100 a month to test every one of our schools for water and sewer for what? They refuse to close, even talk to you really about the First South thing. After the traffic study, which said it was going to be a non-impact issue, and they'd already made up their mind on that. I tried to get them a year ago to go with help me replace bleachers at Logan High. We know what happened there this last year. And we're still going to have to foot the bill and hope that they pay us back. I just don't see that they've been very cooperative. And I plan to let them know that I'm disappointed in that. And they need to tell us what they plan to do for us.
And it's critical that we are in the business of educating children. We are not in the business of making sure retail space has adequate trees or parking. That's not our business. Our business is to get as much money we can to educate children.
Safely.
Safely. It doesn't matter. I mean, we're not going to enter an RDA because that's going to take money from educating children, and that's what we do best, and that's what we are charged to do is to educate children.
And in the past, we've worked with them when there's been a...
Sucks to be them.
When we've tried really hard to work together.
I can't think of one thing they've done that we've asked them to help us.
And you know what? It's frustrating to me that, and I will be addressing this later, but it's frustrating to me that we have a very expensive road to know, which was First South. Yeah. Because if they had told us no 2 years ago and said, you know what, that's not going to work out for us, then we could have saved all that money and done...
Not to mention architect design fees.
I'm just saying, it was a very expensive road to know that they let us down like it was no impact to them.
We went to them before we ever turned Dennis or anybody else loose.
Exactly.
And we also knew people, which, you know, some of them were saying we had no way would they vote for it. We already did.
I do want to say that I believe our former mayor was more willing to talk to us about something. And I appreciated his willingness to schedule meetings with us and to talk with us. And
nonetheless, it was a very expensive road to know.
That's true, but I think I like that statement.
I thought you guys had a meeting.
They didn't have it on their schedule.
But you did have one on the schedule.
We had one on the schedule, but somehow
they didn't have it.
And so there have been a number of things like that that.
I promise to do my whitening yoga before I go to the meeting.
And think about the language.
Can they carry forward and force us into an RDA that we don't approve of?
They can vote. We have a vote on it.
We can opt out.
They should have two votes.
We can opt out.
We can opt out.
But the reality is what happened in Alpine's case, they voted no, and it went through anyway. Without their vote.
And what about if there's a state vote that is a school vote?
And the state vote went for the RDA and not against it on this one.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm curious to hear what they have to say.
And who is the person who votes for the state now? Is it the same person that used to? You know what I'm saying? Because that used to be something that we could pretty well count on.
She does.
I shouldn't sit there. It looks like five is the...
I'll tell you, it's going to be a tough year next year. I'm just going to throw in the white.
If we don't have enough...
But when we sit,
we have to go back to negotiate.
Oh, okay.
Will we have to restart, or will we be able to amend five to fit?
Because we have to adopt it.
No, we have enough.
The money helps. It'll be flexible.
Okay.
We will be fine.
Okay, I'd like to have a motion. Oh, we don't have a motion. I'd like
you
to
want me to, I'll correct that one.
That would be wonderful. Oh, so we have the correct one for our next meeting.
You want to wait?
And we are now going to close this meeting at...
This is something you want to say. You shaved your legs.
4:16.
By the way, will you clear off your... machine so somebody can leave me a message. I'd appreciate it.